Mary Renvon is the director of the theater program at the College of St. Scholastica, and she joins us to talk about theater on the radio. It's Radio Theater this morning on Northland Morning. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. I'm good. How about you?
Just great. Thanks. So, a new fall, the school year has started, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning, despite the fact that I'm almost certain that you are probably up to your ears in new activities.
Just a little tiny bit. First year of classes, first year students. We're a little busy.
Just a touch.
Just a little.
Yep. So, you know, we've got all these kids, some returning students, but the new ones come in, and theater is such an exciting, creative place. When new students show up, are they a little wide-eyed, or are they eager to jump in?
Both. You get both extremes. You get the whole, oh my gosh, I can actually do some theater, and you get the, I can't wait to start. Where are the scripts? When do we begin?
Right. Oh, good. I mean, that's a range of enthusiasm is certainly something you can work with. So.
It's great. I love it.
We were going to talk this morning about historical theater. And I know that there are certainly plays that, just because of their age, are themselves historical, you know, pulling out some Shakespeare or some Greek tragedies. Or,
exactly.
You'll find plays that become historical artifacts themselves. And then there are shows that represent a piece of history. I suppose that would apply maybe to Shakespeare's Henry's as well in some way. But
sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, those, the classics, the whole Greek, Roman, Elizabethan, Commedia dell'arte, all of those are great for educational theater, for sure.
Right.
You know, teach the students new ways to act and how things were done then. And so we do all of that stuff as part of our repertoire here because of that aspect of it, of the educational aspect.
You know, but the thing is, too, after all these years, that they're still seat fillers. You know, you pull out
right.
a Shakespeare, people are going to come see it.
Exactly. And that's how theaters like Wise Fool can be able to exist here in the Northland.
Right.
People want to see Shakespeare, which is great. I love to teach it to students. I love the all the subtle and not so subtle innuendo, and the students don't get it until you teach it to them.
Well, it's in Elizabethan English. Sometimes the subtlety can be lost in translation, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely.
But, of course, it's a physical thing, too. I think a line can have, Shakespeare is a master at lines that can have triple entendre. And until you see them physically deliver the line, perhaps it can make more sense.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, and then there's also the sort of historical plays that are really taken from history and sometimes so directly. And I was looking at your fall season, and The Diary of Anne Frank is on your schedule this fall.
It is. We start auditions next week, actually, and part of the rationale behind why we chose to do it is because I really feel like it's topical again. With everything that was happening in Syria and the refusal to bring refugees into the country, it just kind of rang true to what was happening in World War II and the Jewish refugees, and it just really felt like, hey, it's time to do this topic again. Let's talk about it.
The immigration of Jews out of Europe in the 1930s, it was happening to a certain extent.
Right.
There were many that made the flight either to further outer edges of Europe, but then to the States as well.
Yep.
Many didn't make that journey.
Right.
I don't recall if there was a cap or some sort of limitation, if they were stopping up the borders into the States. So that certainly is something that is relevant today very much.
Absolutely. And I mean, I don't think it was as blatantly known as it is, say, with the Syrian situation,
mm-hmm.
but simply because of just our media saturation more than anything.
True.
I know that I don't know the statistics. I'm not an historian. But I do know that there were certain numbers of Jewish people who were not allowed to come into the United States or allowed to leave Europe, for that matter.
Hmm.
And so it's something I'm doing more research on, of course, so I can talk to my students more about. But it's just that bell in the back of your brain started to go off. And my designer has wanted to do the show again. He did it once. He's designed it once. He wanted to design it again. And so I just said, hey, it's time. We're doing it.
Okay.
And yeah. I think it's great because students, I mean, we're at the point now, especially in a lot of our public high schools, where they just don't have the time and resources to really delve into a lot of different historical ideas or times or situations. And so they're learning about the Holocaust throughout their school careers, but mm-hmm. they're not delving into it, I don't think, as much. And so this is an opportunity to keep that fresh. You know, a lot of we're losing what are left of the Holocaust survivors. They're aging out and starting to leave. And so it's great to keep that story going, too, I think.
Well, and it's a very important story. And of course, we were just talking about Jews that were able to immigrate, to get out of mm-hmm. Central Europe. But here was a real story of people who weren't able to leave and, in fact, were in hiding right there in the lion's den, so to speak. You think about the Syrians that aren't able to get out of Syria.
Right.
That are there and what they must be going through. So that's certainly a very common point.
Exactly. And her, you know, Anne Frank's diary talks so much about that, about being in the middle of it all. And yet she never loses her hope. She always believes in humanity. She thinks that people are kind at their core. And so to be going through something where, and ultimately everyone in her family was killed except her father in the camps. And so to have her have hope up until the last page of her diary is just heart-wrenching.
Well, and bringing this play back now, it's been, I'm trying to do the math quickly in my head, 70 years.
It'll be 70 years next year, yep.
Yeah.
1947.
Was when the book was published.
Yep.
And when was it adapted into a play? Was it soon after?
1958.
And the play, is it drawn completely and explicitly from the book? Is it dramatized a bit?
It is dramatized. There's some compilation of characters who are pulled together. Mm. Obviously, you can't do her entire, all she wrote almost daily the entire time she was in captivity, and of course you can't tell all those stories.
No.
Otto Frank, her father, did not want some of the coming of age things. She was a 13-year-old girl when she started writing, and so there's a lot of things about her growing up and understanding what's happening to her body and all these things that are in the diary itself that aren't in the play.
Mm-hmm.
Because her father didn't want the world to read that about her in the play. And so there's that difference. There's also a newer adaptation that we are not doing. We're doing the original. But there is a newer adaptation that puts some of that stuff back in to kind of give more of a full picture of what she was going to from.
Well, that's interesting. I think of the play as being so much in the firmament that it wouldn't have occurred to me to readapt the diary.
To readapt the adaptation, yeah. Yeah, they did it, and I don't have that one right on the tip of my fingers, but fairly recently, mm-hmm. 10, 20 years ago maybe, if that long.
Wow.
Don't quote me on that, people out there in Radioland.
You're safe.
But and the one thing, the biggest reason I chose not to do that script is one of the differences they did was they took out the bookends of having Otto Frank back in the attic as sort of a prologue and an epilogue to the story.
Mm.
And I just think that adds a totally different element of the actual loss, because the beginning of the play, he shows up, he's in the attic after and finds the diary. And then we come back to that at the end. And that just to me is so much more powerful than just starting in the attic. So.
Yeah. I can see that can lead give a stronger anchor on each end and sew it up at the end in a bow. So,
yeah. So, I mean, it's as historically accurate as you can be when you're looking at the lives of, you know, six people who are living in an attic or seven people at one point, which is a small annex room to a factory, and what their experience was of the war through the eyes of a 13-year-old girl.
Right. We were talking a month or two ago about Hamilton, and there's an historical play as well, but very different. Not, I mean, taken from historical fact, but certainly dramatized very differently and very expressively.
Oh,
in a different
absolutely.
Fashion, so.
And I think it's charging young minds to want to find out more about our founding fathers and more about history. And for me personally, as I was listening to the soundtrack for the first, second, probably third or fourth times too, every time I would hear something, I'd be, is that true? And then I would look it up and do some research, and it was, oh my gosh, it's so true.
That's true.
I'm just so impressed with how smart and sharp that writing is of that play, that it's and the historical accuracy for the most part. I have yet to find anything that wasn't at least close to true.
Hmm. Well, and you mentioned with Anne Frank now, of course, you pointed out that a lot of the Holocaust survivors are aging out now. Well, I fear that page in history will fade over time. And I suppose centuries from now it might. Certainly tragedies of the past get lost to us, but the Holocaust has been so present in the last half century because of the survivors, because of just the, as you say, the media-rich world that has exploded since radio and television and cinema have come along in the last century and just sort of made everything so present in front of us. But with that aging out, this story does still have legs, and as you pointed out before too, with the Syrian crisis, it's very, very relevant to a different story.
Right. I agree. And it's to have that, like, for example, this year's high school freshmen are the first students who weren't alive on 9/11. And so they're the first students who are going to be studying about it as an historical event that happened before they were born.
Mm.
And that's just kind of, I mean, because that day for me is so visceral.
Yes.
That to realize that there are young adults right now who weren't here, and you put that into perspective. And I think that that kind of happens with a lot of historical events as we're going forward. And the Holocaust having happened, you know, 70 years ago, roughly, you know, there's a range there, but those people who survived it are in their 80s or close, depending on how old they were at the time. And so young enough to, if they're really young, they don't really remember it. And it's far enough away that it's cloudy. And so we lose some of that firsthand experiential stories that we have in Anne Frank's diary, which is just a great tool to have to talk about what was happening at the time.
Right. And she'd be in her 80s.
Yeah, she'd be 85-ish right now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing this play to us again.
Thanks.
I'm looking forward to the fall. Thank you as well for the conversation. I realized as we were talking, yes, the Hamilton thing we were talking about the last time I had you on was another historical representation as well, but very, a very different contrast.
A very different tone, absolutely, even though he dies at the end. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. People don't know Alexander Hamilton dies, but
the Got Milk commercial always comes to mind at that point. So,
yeah.
Well, Mary, thanks so much. We appreciate your time this morning.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Mary Wren Vaughn, the director of the theater program at the College of St. Scholastica. She joins us to talk about theater on the radio. Radio Theater Fridays at 8 on Northland Morning, supported in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.